NRQ Morning Show.
Everyone pay attention.
Can I have your attention, please?
With Rock and Emma.
Get up now. Right now.
Somebody get me some coffee.
I was just entertaining the people on the morning drive.
Only on Alternative 103.7 KNRQ.
Alternative 103.7 KNRQ. Good Monday morning. It's the NRQ Morning Show. I'm rocking ass. Emma.
Good morning.
Seth.
How was your weekend?
Not right.
Didn't do much?
Nah. Watched a Ducks loss three weeks in a row now. I mean, other than that, not too much.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. That's all I want to say
so
about
that
it.
That happened.
That's all I want to say. You know what I did see? Patriots getting shut down. Saw that one. That was a weird
That's
game.
That's an asterisk.
That was a weird game, though.
He shouldn't have been out there playing to begin with, that Jacoby Brissett cat.
Yeah.
The only reason I think he was out there starting was because they were like, we really shouldn't put Julian Edelman in as our starting quarterback. At best, he's like a seven-star wide receiver.
They didn't
can't have him be QB.
Right. They didn't have a lot of choices.
No, and the dude was out there. He was trying to let it rip with his messed up thumb, and you could tell almost every pass he threw had some wobble to it. It looked weird as he was throwing it.
Yeah.
It just...
kind of awkward, right?
Yeah.
The way it came off his hand.
And I mean, I'm not judging him. I know he was out there playing with an injury. He just should not have played, but they had no other option.
Right.
Garoppolo was out. Brady was still serving his last game of suspension. It's like, who you got?
Did you see the Riggle skit about being the third Ryan coach?
I did. That was pretty good. Ryan.
I love... yeah. Oh, man. He reminded me of the creepy Rob Lowe commercials.
Yeah.
It was good.
It was pretty good.
I enjoyed that.
But a lot of interesting action from around the league yesterday. Still tripping about the Ducks. So that's the second conference loss, man.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Had to get blown out by Washington State.
Yeah.
I know they're not bad this year, but that shouldn't happen to us. So
no. It's,
I'm telling you, it's not a good season for us.
And now there was people that were, I saw on Twitter, Duck fans nationally and here locally are calling for coaching changes, it looks like. I mean, they're just people like you and I. They're not pundits or anybody that have any kind of real say. They're just fans who want to see the Ducks do good, not badly.
Yes, exactly. So they're on my board right here.
That's,
right on board with me.
That's what it sounds like, man.
Damn a train.
Everybody, of course, that's pro-Helfrich is like, no, just calm down, man. Just chill. We'll get this thing together. It's like, will we?
Look into it a little deeper, guys. Start picking up some facts there.
It's awesome, though, man, because I still have high hopes. Because the Pac-12, we talked about the power rankings last week. They're not that solid.
Look, and I'm real bummed about it, so I enjoy your positive take on it.
Look,
you're helping me a little bit.
Trying to make things work. I still got faith. Let's go Ducks.
I will say...
try to get into at least a bowl game of some sort, somehow, some way.
I don't know about this.
Yeah,
either.
It seems... doubtful at this point, but fingers crossed.
Let's just win. That's all I want. Saturday Night Live was phenomenal. Its return.
Speaking of win, real quickly, I'm not a very avid college football fan other than the Ducks, but I had the opportunity to catch the last few minutes of the Tennessee-Georgia game, and that was out of this world.
Yeah, that's the level
the way
that we're supposed to be able to play.
That Hail Mary touchdown pass at the end to get it, that dude just went up over some bodies, yanked it down with no time left on the clock, put that win away.
It was like, this is mine.
Man, what? I've never seen a Hail Mary work so beautifully before.
It must have been so loud in there. That was beautiful. That must have felt so good.
And they did it in George's house,
I'm
too.
So jealous. It's supposed to be us.
He looks like he broke his yoga mat, and she looks like she'll beat you up.
I don't really want any part of that. That sounds like pure nonsense to me.
It's Rockin' Emma.
I've heard about you.
The NRQ Morning Show.
We could just try it.
On Alternative 103.7 KNRQ.
There's a 68-year-old guy from Miami, Florida, who won several million dollars in the lottery 5 years ago.
Nice. Good story.
But
sports?
Money did not make him less lonely. So last year, he went on a sugar daddy dating website that hooks up old rich guys with younger women.
Yeah, all right.
He met a 24-year-old stripper from Jacksonville, Florida.
Dynamite.
They ended up getting married 3 months ago.
Oh, no.
And they were looking through one of his old photo albums recently. They learned something new about each other. He's her grandfather.
Oh, man. What?
They're both estranged from their families, and they never really talked to anyone about each other, so they never made the connection that her father was his son.
How did that go missed?
I don't know, but believe it or not, they're staying together.
Oh!
She says, quote, "Every couple is different and special in their own ways."
I didn't expect another gross turn, but we took one.
I feel our bond is so strong that even something like this is not enough to make us give up. It should make you give up.
Yeah, does she know that
You're not quitting. You're not tapping out.
Right. You'd still... You're in his family already. You don't have to be married to him.
Correct. Still be part of his family.
You don't have to F your grandpa. Ew.
Dirty grandpa.
Seriously, is this number two? Is this like the sequel?
Now, as for whether this
is... based on a true story.
Even legal. It sure doesn't look like it based on Florida's incest laws, but I guess that's another relationship hurdle for another day, huh?
Well, love is pain, I guess. Mm. That's disgusting. What are the chances, I wonder?
I have no idea, but I will not...
We're not good at math.
Yeah, I will not even try to calculate those odds.
So weird.
The Cougars used a second quarter explosion to break a 7-7 tie and build a lead the Ducks could never overcome. Royce Freeman's second of three touchdowns on the night. Tied the score late in the first quarter, but Washington State rushed for three scores of its own in the second quarter to build a 28-14 halftime lead. Oregon's defense buckled down in the third quarter as the Ducks blocked a field goal, then forced a turnover on downs for another stop in the red zone, also forced a punt. But Oregon's offense capitalized on only one of those stops. With Freeman rushing for a 75-yard touchdown, the Cougars, meanwhile, tackled Dakota Prukop in the end zone for a safety, and they led 30-20 entering the fourth quarter. Washington State reestablished its running game in the final period with Jamal Morrow and James Williams rushing for touchdowns that put WSU up 44-20.
Felt like we gave up.
Looked like it, man.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Nelson returned a kickoff of 100 yards for a score midway through the quarter, but Williams answered to get the Cougars three backs with two rushing touchdowns and more than 650 yards of total offense for the game.
Oh, man.
And that put the nail in the coffin for the Ducks, Cougars. But, like I said, man, we still got a lot of season left. Speaking of which, we've got the Huskies rolling into Autzen on Saturday.
You're listening to Rock and Emma.
Yackety yack!
Hey, at least one of them's funny. We're not sure which one that is, but...
might be easier if they were in jail.
Mornings on Alternative 103.7 KNRQ.
103.7 KNRQ.
I'm going to start with top 10 albums in the country. Shawn Mendes sold 145,000 copies of his new album, Illuminate, in its first week, and that was enough to give him the number one, or his second, I guess, number one album. No one else was even close. Drake had the second best sales week, but his album Views only sold about 50,000. Still at number two, though. That album's been unstoppable. Suicide Squad soundtrack has also been doing pretty well. It sits at number three. And no matter how many copies we both purchased, Luke Bryan still debuted at number four with Farm Tour, Here's to the Farmer. Dude, I thought we helped him plenty. I mean, we were kind of on a tear.
There's no help in that title.
Farm Tour, Here's to the
that
Farmer.
That just makes me want to run right out and buy 1,000 copies.
Still, though.
Oh, look, I could farm without actually being on a tractor.
Here's to the Farmer. Bruce Springsteen, Chapter and Verse, new at number 5. And Travis Scott came in at number 6. 21 Pilots, Blurry Face, still in the top 10 at number 7. And Jason Aldean came in at number 8. Rihanna at 9. And Ariana Grande, Dangerous Woman, at number 10. At the movies, Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children beat out the latest Marky Mark Wahlberg movie,
Deep. A.K.A. Tim Burton's movie full of white people. Apparently, that's a thing.
Real white, too, like ghostly white. He's really into the white makeup.
Man.
His white face. It's very offensive.
Super. I don't know what all the hub about that was this weekend.
Well, I guess the book is real popular with the kids. I've
got no frame of reference, but...
Yeah, I remember the name of it, but it was never really highlighted in my school year.
Huh.
So I don't know. Or my school career as an elementary school student.
I find it funny that that's what they get mad at Tim Burton about, but constantly putting Johnny Depp in every movie he makes.
I was mad at
him. That's all right. Tim Burton, yeah.
I was mad at him about the making a scary movie at Christmas time. I was like, well, that's not okay with me. Man. It looks like evil Christmas.
Speaking
movie.
Of Johnny Depp, real quick, I know you got more things you're trying to do. Did you see the Pirates of the Caribbean 5 teaser, the dead man never talk or whatever? Dead man never
with a
die.
Chest and whatnot. And
hold on, teaser. I think it's called Dead Man Never Talk.
Jewelry. Yeah, Johnny Depp didn't say anything in it, is what I guess I saw.
So then is he dead? Jack Sparrow dead in this?
They showed the trailer and everyone's freaking out because they didn't show Johnny Depp at all. I don't know if they're trying to like do a big unveil of his character or what.
Dead men tell no tales.
Dead men tell no secrets.
No tales.
No tales, I mean, of the crypt.
None of that's applicable. Not. But no tales is being told by the dead man. I haven't seen any Pirates of the Caribbean since the very first one, so I
didn't even see that.
I had to. I was working at Blockbuster at the time.
Oh, right.
And we had like a crazy promotion where we had to sell 20 rewards card memberships with a special like pre-order of Pirates of the Caribbean.
So you had to like push it?
Yeah, super tough. So we had to know what we were pushing. Sort of like a good...
I know what you mean. But when you got through it, were you like, that wasn't too bad?
No, I was like, I can't believe I have this as a job.
Did it make it more difficult to push those cards?
It did.
Seriously.
You're going to love this movie.
Should. Don't look at me in the eyes. I'm lying and you're going to be able to tell.
Mm-hmm.
The Magnificent Seven came in at number 3. Storks at 4. Sully at 5. Masterminds was new. Debuted at 6. Queen of Katwe came in at number 7. Don't Breathe at 8. Bridget Jones' Diary at 9. And Snowden came in at number 10. The new documentary on Amanda Knox premieres today, it looks like, on Netflix. The film, simply titled Amanda Knox, explores the 2007 murder of Knox's roommate, British student Meredith Kircher, while the two were studying in Italy. Knox was twice convicted and twice acquitted in the case. Her boyfriend at the time of the murder, apparently they only met 5 days prior to this, which I did not know, Raphael, was also convicted and eventually acquitted in the case. Knox cooperated with making the documentary, which was directed by Rod Blackhurst and Brian McGinn. Blackhurst says I guess they initially approached Knox after the first acquittal, and she didn't want anything to do with this documentary. And he said it wasn't until 2 years later she decided she wanted to talk to us. Back in 2011 until now, she did not want to. She said she wasn't ready and didn't want to let the documentary be made with her participating in it. But now that's all changed. Here's the promo for the Amanda Knox Netflix series starting tonight.
If today. I'm guilty, it means that I am the ultimate figure to fear, because I'm not the obvious one.
The girl known as Foxy Knox.
Everyone is talking about it.
I mean, it was a feeding frenzy for everyone. What more do you want in a story? I mean, all you're missing is the royal family and the Pope.
I've known her only for 5 days.
Perché la ragazza è stata coperta? All'uomo a uno sconosciuto non verrebbe in mente questa cosa.
Did you kill Meredith?
How did things get to this point?
Amanda Knox. If I'm innocent, it means that everyone's vulnerable. And that's everyone's nightmare. Either I'm a psychopath in sheep's clothing, or I am you.
I feel like she's not me.
And that's the crazy thing, though, is like, I mean, yeah, she was acquitted, but at the same time, she was also convicted a couple times. So it's like, did she? Didn't she?
It's still out there. That's why, yeah. And people are so interested in, especially these older
the French judges,
cases.
Yes, they're very interested.
Oh,
they're like,
God.
Hey, you want to come on back here, Amanda? We got some more to talk to you about.
They want her to come back. Yep, for sure. So that's still dicey, and that's on Netflix starting today. And thanks to Tina Fey, Alec Baldwin debuted his Donald Trump impression on Saturday Night Live over the weekend, and it was great. He did a great job. I heard that Tina Fey called Lorne Michaels and said, I know you're gathering all your favorite Trump impersonators. You've got to sit down with Alec Baldwin. He was in the first sketch of the night, which was a 9-minute parody of the last presidential debate last week's. As usual, Kate McKinnon played Hillary Clinton. She came out with a cane, coughing and stuff, and then did a somersault. And they did a pretty good job poking fun at both candidates, but I thought Baldwin just was fantastic. So here's just a little bit of and every time he spoke to who was playing Lester, he says he called him something else. This one, he opens with Soul Train, I think.
Hey, Jazz Man.
Oh, Jazz Man.
Hey, Jazz Man. I've got a very presidential answer for this. Our jobs are fleeing this country. They're going to Mexico. They're going to China. I will stop that. If Hillary knew how, she would have done it already, period. End of story. I won the debate. I stayed calm, just like I promised, and it is over. Good night, Hoskins. Donald.
There's still 88 minutes left. It's a 90-minute debate.
The face he has right here is priceless.
My microphone is broken. She broke it with Obama. She and Obama stole my microphone. They took it to Kenya. They took my microphone to Kenya and they broke it and now it's broken. And you hear that? It's picking up. Somebody's sniffing here. I think it's her sniffs. She's been sniffing all night. Testing, testing. Gina, Gina. Huge Gina.
He did such a good job. Oh, man. It looks like, though, Kate was even better in a sketch called Actress Roundtable. That's the one I was watching when you came in, where she played a faded old Hollywood actress named Debette Goldrey. Basically, they're talking about women in Hollywood and their concerns, and she's from the old days. So she, all of a sudden, she pipes in because they're all like, yeah, they always ask us what we're wearing and not what we're thinking. And they get to her and she goes, yeah, you know how it goes. They'd give me a downer to put me to sleep and they'd shoot me with amphetamines to wake me up. You know, and like, I got paid in brooches, $5 million. And that was the one where Margot Robbie broke character, could not keep a straight face. It was fantastic. The other highlights were politically themed Family Feud, where we got Larry David back as Bernie Sanders. He said something about, every time you see me, it looks like I've just been chasing a bus or something like that.
That was probably the sketch of the night.
You loved it?
I love anything Larry David related.
Me too.
He pretty much stole the show. No offense, Alec, but Larry got you.
And the thing I was surprised at myself, really, for not even thinking about this, but Pete Davidson did a great Mr. Robot in that. Did you see that one?
I did, and I've had this conversation, I believe, with you, but for sure, Beef and Braga before, about how much Pete Davidson looks like Homeboy from Mr. Robot.
He killed it. Oh, man.
So eerie how much they look alike.
And I liked that they addressed this whole online scandal that's been going on with Leslie Jones and how awful it's been. But she definitely has been taking it like a champ, and that sketch was gold, I thought. Margot did a pretty good job as host, but there was a few awkward moments, including the end where she forgot to say good night. They had to like, say good night, and then it was too late. But reports are in. They say the ratings were pretty good. In fact, supposedly drew the best audience for a season premiere since 2008. And that's your Leslie's tease.
Mornings on Alternative 103.7 KNRQ.
Filled with tons of music,
news, sports,
celebrities, sleaze, music news, and more.
Yep, including these disasters with names.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
It's Rock and Emma in the morning
on Alternative 103.7 KNRQ.
You might think it looks cool when you and your group of super hot friends roll up somewhere, and I'm sure it does. But you know what would be even better for you? If you rolled up with a bunch of friends who are hideous.
Oh, okay.
According
so you're the pretty one?
Yeah, man. Oh, according to a new study out of England, people judge your attractiveness by comparing you to the people you're around.
That whole Duff thing.
Yeah, so if you're hanging out with unattractive people, you'll look way better.
You know what you gotta do? Get some ugly friends. Then you'll look great.
Yeah, man. Don't hang out with attractive people. The researchers say that until now, there's always been a theory that everyone's attractiveness level is fixed. But this shows that it could actually vary. Of course, it could go up. If you surround yourself with plenty of ugly people, the uglier the better.
Okay.
Could go down, the hotter they are.
Makes sense with pretty much anything, really.
A 14-year-old girl was injured on a Harry Potter ride at Universal in Orlando on Saturday.
Uh-oh.
She was riding in a Hogwarts Express train when a dark magic spell shot out of a wand and hit her in the face.
Man, Harry Potter's going dark.
Actually, it was a fireball that shot out of the exploding vape pen that she had, which is sort of like magic, right?
I guess
that a 14-year-old's got a vape pen?
Wow.
She was taken to a children's hospital to get treated for burns on her face, arm, and leg that were caused by, you know, her having a vape pen.
And in the Harry Potter ride.
The police are still investigating how it happened. I mean, she had a vape pen. Case closed.
Yeah,
she shouldn't have had that.
Yeah, that's happened before.
The whole problem could have been avoided.
Not in the Harry Potter ride.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's happened for sure.
Yeah, fix that problem real quick. Wow. Keep things for grown folks out of the reach of children.
Sure, parents were thrilled.
Super thrilled. You did what now?
You
said you wanted to go to Universal.
We just wanted you to have a good time.
You said you were going to go play on the swings with friends.
Yeah.
We're vaping like some grown adult is not acceptable behavior, young lady.
Told you you were around the wrong crowd.
You and those Hogwarts, and up to no good.
Harry Potter.
Hogwarts the name of the school? I thought that was the name of the people.
No, I think that's the school. No, that's the school.
Damn it. Let's do sports.
I don't know
enough about Harry Potter to keep making fun of it.
I think we just went into both of us out of bounds. I don't think either of us know.
Bo Jackson's the only athlete to be an all-star in both the NFL and Major League Baseball. But if he had to do it all over again, there's something he would probably change, and that's playing football. He's almost 54 now, and he's been lucky to avoid the long-term injuries a lot of former players suffer. But he's aware enough of the consequences that he would not let his kids play. He said, quote, "If I had young kids, to be honest, and they came and said, 'Dad, I want to play football,' I'd smack them in the mouth."
I'm glad he doesn't have too many young kids, I guess.
Right? He said, no, because if I'd have known back then what I know now, to be honest with you, I probably would have taken a different path myself. I probably just would have played baseball. Bo also told a story about a time he got hit really hard behind the ear. He went down, but he didn't want anyone else to see he was hurt, so he got right back up and went to go sit down on the bench. He said, quote, "Right when my butt hit the bench, someone grabbed my arm and said, 'You're on the wrong side, mother effer.'" So he went and actually sat down on the wrong side, the opposing team's bench, because he had gotten hit that hard.
Wow. You're on the wrong side.
Bo knows. Except for when it comes to benches after injuries.
Bo knows, unless he gets hit in the head too hard.
Kids these days, man, they don't understand how awesome it was for you and I growing up. And I don't know how much you watched baseball, probably not very any at all, but to see cats like Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders, you don't see two franchise athletes anymore.
Right.
They're one sport and one sport only.
Russell Wilson
could do both if he wanted to, but
yeah,
he chose to stay with football.
Doesn't happen as much, that's for sure.
But Bo Jackson was so effing huge. Not only did he have his own multiple Nike deals because he had his baseball shoes, like his actual cleats,
that
he had his cross trainers for what he was doing football off camp exercises.
Yeah.
Had his own cartoon show.
Right.
Had his own clothing, the Bo Nose line.
I remember that. I had a little Bo Nose t-shirt.
Man, this dude was a beast back in the day, and they just don't make him like that no more. But he would not have played football. That's crazy.
Yeah, he's huge. He's still huge.
Yeah, man, he still looks like. I just saw him on, I want to say it was either the NBC pregame show or it was the Fox pregame show yesterday. Doing a little interview. I was like, damn, Bo still look really good.
I'd like to see him out there and
easily still play baseball, at least.
Yeah, I'd like to see him more, even just as a commentator.
Yeah, that would be awesome to bring him back into the fold, get him a little bit more exposure doing that.
I like him.
Be all right with that. Up ahead, we've got the new one from Kings of Leon, plus your sleaze.
You know, they say 6 in the morning is too early to get stoned.
Is that marijuana?
Clearly, the memo really hadn't been passed on to Rock and Emma.
Oh, that makes sense.
It's the NRQ Morning Show.
Ba-bam!
On Alternative 103.7, KNRQ. KNRQ.
Kim Kardashian was tied up in the bathroom and held at gunpoint in her Paris hotel room yesterday by two men who were dressed as police but also wearing masks. Usually police don't wear masks, but I guess, I don't know, I don't think she opened the door to them either. Kim is there for Paris Fashion Week. The men broke into the room, but it's unclear if they stole anything. Kim's rep said she was badly shaken, but physically unharmed. Doesn't sound like the kids were there, thank God. Kanye West was actually on stage at the Meadows Music and Arts Festival in New York City when he heard the news. He was in the middle of Heartless when he stopped cold and told the crowd, quote, "I'm sorry, I have a family emergency, to stop the show," and then bailed.
Bail.
Yeah, and that would suck if you were in New York and the mother of your children, your wife, is in Paris and that happened.
Well, and this might sound very cold-blooded of me to say, but with all the shenanigans the Kardashians have been known to pull over the years, I don't know that this isn't a Ryan Lochte situation yet. You know what I mean?
True.
And for all we know, this could be a ratings ploy.
Speaking of, thank you for that, because this did not take long. Rob Kardashian and Blac Chyna's TV career their TV career together is looking short and not sweet. Season 2 of the show is now hanging by a thread. E! Execs haven't ordered a season 2 yet. Big part of the problem is they can't get the couple to shoot together. As I reported, Rob's become a hermit again, and that's giving the bosses cold feet, it says. Understandably, they're worried they won't get a full season out of him. Yeah, that keeps me at night for sure. I'm just tossing and turning. Like, please.
Can't sleep. So restless.
Come on, Rob. Second season. Obviously, second season could get huge ratings with so much drama. No way. Plus a baby and possibly a wedding around the corner if Rob's on board. And that's a big if right now. Not to mention the season airing now is doing very well. Sources say honchos think Chyna's TV gold. Yikes. And would consider working with her solo on a different show. Yikes. But if her fiancé remains MIA, Rob in China will die on the vine. As long as she gets a show, she doesn't need Rob. Pretty sure she's going to be happy no matter what about that whole...
Just needs her. Yeah, that's... I think she wants to be the star, whereas Rob clearly does not care.
Clearly, yeah. And that's why she's in this mess, because she wants more attention.
And we... more specifically, I said from jump, as soon as this announcement came out, like, this is not going to work. They are
I feel like we both said that.
I feel like I'm owning my words right now.
I feel like I deliver this stuff every time, and you're like, I don't even care about this. Oh, I don't care about Kardashians.
We need to go back to when we made the announcement, and I bet you I said, I don't care about the Kardashians. This is doomed to fail.
When I first started talking about speculation and China hooking up with them, and I'm like, this is so transparent, and all she wants to do is this, and now she's got the baby on the way. She's infiltrated this entire thing, and you didn't want anything to do with it.
I still don't. This is toxic.
But you're going to claim all this stuff, but you don't want anything to do with it.
I can't help it that I'm a Rock Shadamus.
You're taking two different lanes here. I don't care, but I did say this.
Right? That's all I'm saying.
Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt have a temporary custody agreement in place. Angelina will continue to have physical custody while Brad gets visitations. It looks like a therapist will be present for Brad's first visit, and the therapist will decide whether other visits can be supervised or have to be supervised. Also, there will be family counseling as well as individual counseling for Brad and Angelina, and Brad will be subject to random drug and alcohol testings. This is a voluntary agreement, but the guidelines were suggested by the Department of Children and Family Services. It lasts until October 20th. After that, it can be either extended or renegotiated, or they battle things out in court. So that's where things sit right now. Lindsay Lohan cut off part of her finger. Did you hear about that?
I did.
Cool. So she was in a boating accident yesterday morning. She Snapchatted a picture of her bandaged finger and said, I almost lost my finger from the anchor. Well, I lost half my finger. Thank goodness we found the piece of my finger, and I just had surgery to fix it. It hurt so bad. Then she posted a picture or a video. Like, we want to see more of that. The accident happened off the coast of Turkey. Luckily, friends found the tip of her finger on the deck of the boat so it could be reattached. Warning of those pictures.
Nasty.
Yeah. I love how she shares everything. The Biebs is a wanted man, and not just by screaming girls ages 7 to 40. Justin Bieber has been ordered to get back to Miami for a deposition, and the judge doesn't care if it means interrupting his current world tour schedule. What? Bieber's lawyers, apparently the judge is not a believer. Bieber's lawyers were in a packed courtroom last Wednesday for the case where the photog is accusing the singer's bodyguards of attacking him in a Subway restaurant. The judge is giving Bieber 30 days to return to Florida for the grilling by lawyers or sheriff's deputies will haul him in. If he doesn't come voluntarily, Bieber's European leg of purpose world tour doesn't end until late November, so it's going to be a logistical nightmare, that's for sure. And Gosling is accepting the Affleck Damon Challenge as part of one of the charity site's Omaze Donors Experiences. Ryan Gosling's giving fans a chance to visit the Budapest set of the new Blade Runner film, which you can have lunch with him, meet his co-star Harrison Ford, and you get to cruise around in his golf cart with him. The top prize also includes airfare and four-star hotel accommodations. Every donation starting at a minimum of $10 benefits the Enough Project's fight against genocide and crimes against humanity in the Congo. So it looks like Ryan Gosling is next in line to help.
All right, Gosling.
I like it. I still love that video of Affleck and Damon fighting over who's closest with Tom Brady. If you guys missed that, you should look it up.
Mornings on Alternative 103.7 KNRQ.
Filled with tons of music, news, sports, celebrities, sleaze, music news, and more.
Yep,
including these disasters with names. It's Rock and Emma in the morning.
Who else do you think it was?
Mornings on Alternative 103.7 KNRQ.
Here's a sentence I never thought I'd say. Denzel Washington just got arrested for strangling Aretha Franklin. What? Seriously, there's a 20-year-old guy in New York City whose name is Denzel Washington, and his 52-year-old mom is named Aretha Franklin.
Nuh-uh.
As far as I know, neither of them are related to anyone famous, but back in January.
Are you serious?
Yeah. According to the New York Post, they got into an argument, and Denzel choked Aretha. He was in court last week and took a plea deal for harassment, so he got probation and has to go to anger management classes.
This is not a headline Denzel would like
out there. No, not at all. Or Aretha.
I want to know what they think about it.
I'd love to find somebody's got to do their journalistic duty and track Aretha and Denzel down and be like, how do y'all feel about this?
Right? It's a matter of time before we find out, right? That's crazy.
Only a matter of time.
That's insane.
Denzel's waking up like, I did what to who?
What now? That was a weird night.
Aretha's like, oh, Denzel. You ready for some sports?
I think so.
All right. Uh-huh. We're going to go ahead and recap the action from this weekend. And there was quite a bit of NFL action. Our picks went as followed. The Pittsburgh Steelers bested the Chiefs. Made it look like they rebounded quite nicely coming off of that blowout from the Philadelphia Eagles. They got it back together real quick for Sunday Night Football last night. Handled the Chiefs with no problem at all. The Rams got what I would consider to be a very dirty win against the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, they technically played by the book for the most part, but it just seemed like they were very aggressive on the defense. Like, the entire defense was comprised of Ndamukong Suh or something. Like, they just all looked very rough, and I don't think the Cardinals were expecting that.
Yeah.
The Texans beat the Titans at home yesterday. Marcus Mariota.
Didn't have a good game.
Nah, man. No. It was rough. Mm-hmm. Super rough.
It was a rough weekend for me and football in general.
The Buffalo Bills shut out the New England Patriots at home for the first time since 1993.
That's awesome.
Belichick don't know what to think this morning waking up. But, I mean, he gets Tom Brady back.
Maybe just cut some more sleeves off his sweatshirts and call
it'll be
it a
all
day.
Right.
Yeah.
I still got it. My hat goes off to Jacoby Brissett for getting out there and trying to play with the injury on his thumb, on his throwing hand, which made it look very uneasy for him to throw the ball yesterday.
Yeah, and it's too bad, too, because it's his shot. Like, it's not going to have a lot of chances to have that spot, especially because Tom Brady's coming back next game.
Yeah,
so
man.
That was, a big moment for him.
Speaking of which, apparently Tom Brady's been holding private workouts the entire time he's been suspended, even though, like, if you check out TMZ, he's just been out on yachts with Giselle.
Yeah.
But apparently, the whole time, he's been having secret workouts.
Be real dumb if he wasn't.
I thought for sure he was like, all right, y'all want to suspend me? Fine. I'm going to take this, and I'm going to use this as 4 weeks of straight vacation. I'm not going to pick up the playbook. I'm not going to call Belichick. I was wrong, though. I thought for sure he was going to take full advantage of this.
I'm sure it doesn't help that there's two backup quarterbacks having their time trying to take his spot. But
I almost wonder if maybe, like, that's why he decided to focus up on practicing, is because he knows he's got Garoppolo right behind him looking ready to go.
Yeah, there's some hot water all around him right now.
Man, and the Seattle Seahawks look like the Seattle Seahawks yesterday, taking on the Jets for the most part, got the win on the road in New York. So lots of games going on this weekend. We got Monday Night Football tonight. We'll talk about that coming up in news and sports. Up next, we got your music news.
If you woke up to a hangover but didn't really drink the night before, you must be listening to Rock and Emma.
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out.
The NRQ Morning Show on Alternative 103.7 KNRQ.
21 Pilots topping the charts and have claimed the top slot on the Billboard Artist 100 for the first time. The chart, which keeps tabs on artist activity within the Billboard charts, also tracks radio play, album and individual track sales, and fan interaction on various social media platforms. Looks like 21 Pilots have been steadily rising on Billboard the past 75 weeks and peaked on the chart dated October 8th. The last artist to set a similar record was Justin Bieber during his 71-week ascent. Tyler Joseph and Josh Dunn of 21 Pilots. Their recent single for the Suicide Squad soundtrack titled Heathens is holding steady at number 2 on the Hot 100. As we know, it is number 1 on the alternative songs chart. So, according to Billboard and Nielsen Music, their latest album, Blurry Face, has now sold 1.1 million copies. Expect the duo to keep the momentum going. They've got Saturday Night Live coming up this Saturday, a new one. So there you go. 21 Pilots still killing it.
I'd hope it'd be a new one, considering they just had the season premiere last week.
Yeah, not everyone knows that.
That'd be pretty terrible if they already were back to repeats one weekend.
That'd be bad.
It's like, man, I know y'all got a couple new cast members. but
I mean, geez.
You really got to bring back the old ones that quickly?
That was quick. Kings of Leon, next release, out now. Around the World is the band's third single from the upcoming 7th LP, Walls. Caleb from Kings of Leon told Entertainment Weekly, quote, "We're trying to change people's perception of us. We have more depth on this album and more situations where we dipped a toe in before we never committed, and now we're wanting to dive in and commit completely. I know this is a pop-driven world right now, and what we do isn't necessarily at the top of the heap of music that people are listening to, but I feel like once people discover this album, it's going to change them." So here's a little taste of new Kings of Leon, Around the World.
We'll be right back.
go. Walls comes out October 14th. And how do you really feel, Green Day? Green Day took a jab at GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump at a recent gig. Lead singer Billy Joe Armstrong changed the lyrics to their hit song Holiday just for Trump. From the stage, Armstrong called Trump a white supremacist and sarcastically referred to him as New York's finest. Armstrong asked the audience, "You guys been watching the news lately? What do you think about our candidates for the presidency of the United States of America? What do you think of New York's finest, Donald Trump?" Then he went on to say, "No racism, no racism, no racism in this effing room. I'll tell you that right now. There's no white supremacy in this effing room right now. We are coming together tonight here in New Jersey to call bull shiznit on all the effing politicians." The band then broke into their song Holiday with the alternate lyrics, Armstrong saying, "Pulverize the Trump Towers instead of pulverize the Eiffel Tower." Got his point across a little bit.
It's Rock and Emma in the morning.
Don't worry, the name calling is normal. It just means that they're, you know, having fun.
You wanted this, right? You wanted the real deal? That's what this is. Wake up, you're in the middle of it.
Mornings on Alternative 103.7 KNRQ.
Up ahead, we got your last check on news and sports. Also, your final countdown right now. We got a dumbass of the day.
If you've ever hit a cop car while you were driving drunk, wore an incriminating t-shirt while committing a crime, been seriously injured while trying to take a super sweet selfie that doesn't seem all that super sweet now, smuggled some form of contraband in nature's wallet, taken your drug stash to the cops for inspection, or you just happen to be a criminal from Florida, then you might be the dumbass of the day.
Now, I'm not quite sure if this dude has a future in trick shots or not, because this dumbass pulled off a one in a million trick shot at the worst possible moment of his life. 24-year-old named Taylor Parker was in a high-speed chase with the cops in Des Moines, Iowa last week. I believe this was a first time for us having a dumbass of the day out of the great state of Iowa.
Huh, okay, that makes sense.
They pulled him over for a traffic violation and he took off. You'll hear why in a second, but first, he tried to get rid of the shotgun he had with him by throwing it out the window.
Uh-oh.
And when it hit the ground, it fired and shot out one of his own tires.
Oh my God, are you
which
serious?
Which quickly ended the chase and the cops found out why he was trying to evade them and, duck and dodge the shotgun.
Loaded shotgun in his car?
No, he didn't have the slightest concern about the shotgun, though he threw it out the window.
Right. I think he did have a little bit of a concern about the shotgun, seeing how he was throwing it out the window.
I think he was more concerned about the large quantity of crystal meth he had on him.
That was probably going to go out next. But
I mean, if he could have got it out of his trunk.
He probably should have gotten there first.
Man, this dude was arrested for possession with intent to deliver, possession with intent to sell, and possession of a weapon.
You know what would help delivering? Four tires.
Well, that would make delivering a lot easier. The crazy thing is, though, is that the police report, and I don't know if it's because it was written, spur of the moment right there on the scene of the crime or not, but according to the police report, the only thing they're willing to say about the meth is that it was, quote, a significant quantity.
Hmm.
I mean, is that a gram? Is that an ounce? What
I
are we talking
like
about
it's
here?
Like the whole trunk, but you would think that they would tell us.
Right? If it was a big enough bus, you would think that would it would have been included in the details.
Maybe he was on the way to one of the cops' house. I'll take this.
I would hope not.
It's
Taylor.
A lot. Just mind your business. It's a lot. Don't worry about it. Johnson, Officer Johnson. How much is it? I don't know.
He looks a little bit like he's dabbled in the meth trade. That's for sure. He's got one of those faces of meth, him.
Oh, yeah?
And that is your dumbass of the day. First time out of Iowa. I'm almost positive of it.
I don't remember one out of Iowa, especially with involving so much meth.
Yeah, we've had a couple of random states sprinkled throughout. It's typically either Florida or some other country, but I mean, this guy right here from the Bread Belt, Iowa.
It is the first time we've had someone shoot out their own tire, though. We had shot themselves in the hand, in the leg, mm-hmm. in the foot.
In the member.
And in the member, but never in the tire as they were trying to evade police.
It's a one in a million shot, Doc. A one in a million shot.
You're listening to Rock and Emma.
Ruined everything.
Come on. Everything's not ruined.
Guys, everything's ruined.
Hey, at least one of them's funny. We're not sure which one that is, but
Rock and Emma. Mornings on Alternative
103.7.
103.7 KNRQ.
This is the least sexy see-through bikini you'll ever hear about.
What?
A 59-year-old guy named Stephen Wojciechowski of Cedar Run, New Jersey, was arrested last week because, according to the police report, he was walking around on a beach wearing, quote, A homemade clear plastic wrap bikini.
That's not a bikini at all.
No.
That's just saran wrap.
Yeah. That's not the kind of meat I want in my saran wrap.
Oh, gross.
It was not properly concealing his thunder either. Quote, his genitals were clearly exposed.
Yeah, clearly I would say, because that's saran wrap.
He was arrested and charged with indecent exposure, and he's fully dressed in his mugshot.
I mean, that's the whole thing with the saran wrap. It's supposed to be clear.
Something tells me I'm not dealing with a master criminal here, but a 37-year-old guy named Nicholas Duprat tried to shoplift a bunch of food from a grocery store in Manchester, New Hampshire on Friday. But the staff caught him. So he tried to pepper spray him to get away, but just as he was spraying it, some customers decided to tackle him. And the only person Nicholas wound up spraying was himself right in the face.
Yay.
He wanted to be arrested so bad just to get that stuff off his face. He was like, take me, go, now, now.
Just bring me to water, something to help me.
Get it out of my eye. Give me milk or something.
I regret this decision. Quickly regret this.
So bad. You ready for some sports?
It's not as good as the shooting the tire out.
Oh, no. That's a once-in-a-money shot, or a once-in-a-lifetime money shot, I should say. I'm trying to think about, like, logistically, how exactly you would have to, with the angles and how? Like, get Mythbusters on this. Get those two cats to try to, like, reenact that thing. And I'd be set.
It's scary that the gun was so ready to be shot that all it took was you throwing it out the window.
Well, meth. Or M, when you've got a trunk full of meth,
right.
You got to stay ready.
You've got to have a loaded shotgun to throw out of your vehicle when the cops start chasing you. It only makes sense.
NFL referee Pete Morelli spoke a profanity into a hot microphone Sunday as he asserted that a big hit could quickly change the complexion of an already defensive heavy game during the Buffalo Bills 16-0 shutout over the New England Patriots at Gillette Stadium. Now, the ref's utterance was not heard on the television broadcast because the game was in a timeout. But it was a mistake that will likely draw some scrutiny from the image-conscious NFL office. While speaking to another official during a third-quarter timeout, Morelli, who is a veteran NFL official in his 20th year, had his mic on. And those at the stadium, M., they heard him say, quote, turned into a pretty good game, but one big hit, this S could explode. Now, there's no word yet on what action will be taken against Morelli for the infraction, but the NFL does actually have the authority to issue discipline if desired. Had no idea that an NFL ref could face some kind of sanction by having a hot mic. I mean, it makes sense. They're regulated by the FCC the same way we are, but...
Sure, but, I mean, it didn't go over the air. Maybe there's some wiggle room for it.
That's what I'm hoping. I'm sure he's hoping for the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, guys, come on, man. I was just trying to be a Monday morning quarterback on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, hey, that happens.
We were in timeout.
Luckily, we have a dump button that...
No pun intended, but I was just shooting the S.
I was just literally shooting the shiznit.
After a crazy day of fan fest action yesterday, Blazers basketball is back at the Moda Center tonight. The Trailblazers will begin the exhibition season by hosting the Utah Jazz with tip-off set for 7 p.m. on Comcast Sports Network.
You're listening to Rock and Emma. And we'd say thanks for tuning in, but we assume that you're not listening on purpose.
Well, this is awkward.
It's Rock and Emma in the morning on Alternative 103.7 KNRQ.
What do you have going on today?
I've got a lot of work to do. I got to go to Island Park Chiropractic. You know how much I love that place. Get to get a massage. I'm so happy. From Amy or Jocelyn, I don't even care. They're both amazing. And then I got more work. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Oh, I got to put my top on. I got to wash the inside of my top and put it on my Jeep.
Yeah,
all weekend long, I clean the inside because there's nothing worse than putting the top back on. Your Jeep's all dirty from the summer, and then the top's dirty underneath. It's been in my front yard. I mow the lawn next to it, so I got to clean that out. And my Jeep now is falling together. It looks pretty good, so I'm excited to get it all put together. It'll be all clean and stuff.
Matter of fact, interesting weather update. As of about an hour ago, it looked like the forecast for rain tomorrow has been changed to rain with a 30% chance at a thunderstorm.
Oh, yay!
It's only 30% chance, but that 30% wasn't there like an hour ago.
Right? So we'll take it. Yeah. Crossing my fingers.
Give me a thunderstorm. A fall thunderstorm to boot.
We
could get some hail. Yeah, man. It could be a real, real good time
tomorrow.
Get
all blustery and stuff.
By the way, the nicest day of the week, coincidentally enough, is going to be Saturday where it's supposed to be sunny and 74.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Does it say anything about next week yet? I know it's only Monday, but...
It shows all the way through to next Monday, but you've got rain, except for Saturday. And Sunday.
And then
Monday, it looks like it's partly cloudy with a chance.
Okay. So. It's time, I guess.
Saturday, though, man. Never rains at Autzen.
I made it to October.
Woo-hoo! There you go. Did Mission it. Accomplished.
Yep, I win.
Coming up, we got Beefcake. He's got the 90s at noon for your lunchtime pleasure, followed by Al Scott. He's got the Road Rage and Rock News at 5, plus...
Who knows what else? It's always good, though. It's always
Road
good.
Rage, man. 5 o'clock Road Rage. You got Coldplay, you got Bastille.
Right.
Who else we got in there? Glass Animals will be in the mix.
MGMT, maybe?
Right.
Gotta get...
Atlas Genius?
Maybe some Champagne Supernova?
Look, you're not raging if you don't have Oasis in the background.
It's gonna be great.
You're listening to Rock and Emma on the KNRQ Morning Show. Hey, don't worry, the name calling, that's perfectly normal. It just means that they're having fun.
Why are you so sad?
Why are you so happy, mother...
Mornings on Alternative 103.7 KNRQ.